Hello, I'm Ned88. Welcome to my podcast where I attach the geocaches to learn more about this amazing game. When I travel, I like to use geocaches to help me plan my trip. Often a geocache has taken me to a spot I would have never found by myself. This has led me to a second style of episode where I chat to geocaches in other cities. We will hear recommendations for geocaches in the area, as well as any useful tips. Today I am sitting down with a couple of geocaches from Missouri to chat about what geocaching is like over there. I have Mike from the Where Is It Now geocaching podcast and Amy from the Geocache Adventures podcast. Thanks for coming along today, guys.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
We finally got through the random time zones and we've sat down, we're able to go through this. So before I launch into what Missouri itself is like, I'd love to learn a little bit more about each of you. So if I could ask you guys, when did you start geocaching and how did you get into it?
I started in I wrote the date down, January the 6th, 2013. I was reading Mental Floss, the magazine, and there was an article in there, and I immediately set up an account and went about a half a mile from my house and found one.
So I learned about geocaching back in 2014 from a coworker at the time, and I thought it sounded really awesome. So I got on geocaching.com and I set up an account. Then I didn't do anything with it because my son was about 2 months old at the time and I was trying to get my husband to do it with me. So I was like, how do I do this with an infant? And he wasn't into it. So it was actually almost exactly 5 years after I signed up before I actually found my first geocache. My son was in kindergarten and I was looking for something new to do with him. And I just happened to remember about geocaching. I pulled up the app and there was a whole bunch near us and we started from there.
Awesome. It took a little while to get going, but you've gotten straight into it with a podcast and everything now.
Yeah, I have.
So in your time of geocaching, do you have a favorite geocaching story that you just love to tell around a barbecue or an event that you could give to me today?
Probably one of mine actually ended up in a do not find. And it was one of those times I got to go out caching by myself. And it happened to be like last February, I think it was. We had a mild day here. And a bunch of snow had just thawed a couple of days before. It was all wet and muddy. And I went down looking for this one geocache. And you kind of have to go off the walking path and you go down below a bridge into a creek bed. And I only had my phone at the time. And my GPS on my phone started going crazy. And it was throwing me off different directions of the bridge here and there. And I kept walking around in circles that I could not get it pinpointed. I finally thought I had it pinpointed. And I think I spent like 20 minutes there. And when I slipped in the mud and went sliding down the hill and crashed into a tree, and that was the only thing that kept me from not falling into the creek, I thought, you know what, maybe I'll go home and call it a day. And I logged the DNF, and then other people started logging DNFs. And then I thought, okay, it's missing. About 2 months later, somebody found it. I was like, dang it. How did I not find it? I nearly ended up in the creek in freezing water for this. And I finally got to go back out a couple months later and I found it. And it was a misconception on my own part because the description said it was a small. So I was looking down in like the tree roots, looking for around our area, like pill bottles are common smalls. And it ended up, it was actually a bison tube that was hanging up zip tied to a little tree branch. And I walked past it three or four times before I happened to turn just right and found it like right in front of me. And it was just one of those moments of, how did I miss this so many times? And it was quite the adventure for me the first time, almost ending up in the creek and then going home covered in mud and then having to explain when I got home why I was covered in mud. And then finally avenging the do not find was just very, very satisfying.
I can imagine. It's always nice to get that DNF fixed up to a smiley. What about you, Mike?
Well, I have two, if I may, that really stick out in my mind. One is my favorite geocache of all time. But it wasn't the most challenging and it wasn't the most memorable, if those can be two separate things. The most amazing geocache I ever was at is I took my grandson to London to see the Kansas City Chiefs, that's American football, play against, it doesn't even matter who we played. We did win, but we went on that trip. And the deal was, even though he doesn't love geocaching, is that we go find some. And we went down to Stonehenge and found the virtual at Stonehenge. And it was just amazing to see something I'd read about all my life and never thought I would see. My favorite cache, or the most challenging, is a cache called Sitting on a Spider. And it's a really unusual cache. It's a bridge that used to go across a creek bed, or a river actually, that they took the top of the bridge off. So it's just all the supports. And that's what are called the spiders. And the challenge is to get the ammo box off the top of it. It's about 40 feet in the air. You see pictures of people doing it with a ladder. That's not how it's supposed to be done. And so with 200 feet of rope, a hammer, a drill, and a stick that's about 2 feet long, you can, after several hours, retrieve that cache. I went three times and sort of figured out how to get to it, because you can't drive to it. And then I called my friend Melissa Joe in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and she flew down for something else. And we went together, and it took us about 2.5 hours to get it down, and then maybe another 40 minutes to get it back up there. It was amazing. I think that's GC4113. I'm doing that from memory, but that's what I think it is.
That sounds like a very memorable geocache. I can imagine why it's up there in your favorite.
Yeah, a lot of people go to find it. And if you look at the pictures, there's a lot of people that use ladders. It's still scary with the ladder. It's just not, it's a 5.5. It's not a 5.5 with the ladder.
Yeah. So I mentioned at the start of the episode that I've got you both on because you're both from Missouri. Now, I've never been to the United States of America, so I'm not really sure exactly how far apart you guys are in Missouri. Could you give me a bit of where you guys are based and how far that is from each other?
Well, if you're familiar with St. Louis, Missouri, I am right across the river from that. I'm on the border, very much along the border between Missouri and Illinois, about halfway between the north and south of the state, maybe a little further north than south. And then Joplin is that's a few hours, like, kind of southwest, if I'm right. Is that right, Mike?
We're as far away apart from each other as you can be from each other and still be in the same state. So I'm in the southwest corner, and she's, as she said, on the east border, and it's 4.5 hours from my house to, I just drove there the other day. It took me 2 days and an overnight stay to get a couple of, I think 10 counties and several caches over there. It's a hike. Yeah.
Joplin and St. Louis. Could you give me a couple of recommendations for geocaches to find in, we'll go Joplin first, Mike?
Sure. So first of all, let me ask you, what type of geocache would you want? Would you want something really challenging, or would you want, like, and by challenging, I mean kind of like that Sitting on a Spider was? Or would you want something that's a gadget cache, or something that's just beautiful?
Could I have one of each?
You could. I don't have one of each queued up, but let me just tell you this. First of all, there's a geocache. Here's the thing. In Joplin, I have cleared out every geocache in the area years ago. And so they're kind of not as strong in my memory as they used to be. However, just south of us, and when you live in the size a town the size of Joplin, to go 20 miles, it's still smaller than St. Louis, okay? So there's a town just south of us called Neosho, Missouri, and it's about 17 miles south. And there's a geocacher down there called Brandy Jack. His name is neither Brandy nor Jack. His name is Joe. It's a long story, but he creates really interesting, amazing caches. He has gadget caches, night caches. He just doesn't do anything ordinary. So his name is Brandy Jack. Anything he's done. One that really sticks out for me is a cache called, I have to look it up and see what it's called here. I wrote it down. It's called Well, here's the GC number. It's GC7, V as in Victor, 2, Q as in Queen, N as in Nancy. It's called the J&S Farms Owl Roost Cache. And Brandy Jack and Jeremy James 1000 went together on that. And just imagine a telephone pole that goes straight up with no wires attached to it. There's nothing dangerous that way. And there's a big box at the base of it. And in that box is a harness that you have to put on. And you climb the pole like you're a lineman or a linewoman. And you get to the top and you can see the cache. It's an owl. And you have to kind of lean out without holding on with your hands, with the harness, just with your feet on the pole, and reach up and grab the owl. I will tell you that I DNF'd it. I was there at an event with probably 30 other people. Everybody got it but me, or at least everyone claimed it. I climbed about 2/3 of the way up. I'm horribly fearful of heights. And I didn't take credit for it, and I came back down. But that's one to get your blood pumping. I see you shaking your head no and yes at the same time, like, not going to do it. So that's fun. But then the other stuff that Brandy Jack has is generally just very, very creative. So that's what I would say there. The other thing I would say is that I'm in the corner of four states. So you can be at my house and you can be in Arkansas, Kansas, or Oklahoma. You could drive to all of them in less than an hour. And so you can be in Kansas in 7 minutes, Oklahoma in 13 minutes, and Arkansas in about 40. So as far as souvenirs go, if you like souvenirs, there's a chance to get a lot in the area.
That geocache sounds absolutely terrifying to me. You know, good recommendation. I do have some listeners that are up for risking their lives for a geocache, but might leave that for them. Amy, do you have any recommendations for St. Louis? Preferably something that won't, like, risk my life?
Well, I got a couple that won't risk your life, because I'm kind of in the boat with you. That's a little too rich for my blood on some of those. If you go to the St. Louis area, one of the things about St. Louis, it's got a lot of tourist districts. So we have the St. Louis Arch, we have the St. Louis Zoo, the Science Center, the Children's Museum, the History Museum. And a lot of those locations have virtuals. The virtual at the St. Louis Arch is, I could be wrong, but I think that is, if it doesn't have the most favorite points in the area, it's up there in the top 10 or so. It's a very popular one. If you come across the river to St. Charles side where I live, one of my favorites is actually a Where I Go down in our historic Main Street District. The Main Street District is, I love it. It's got the old cobblestone streets and the old gas lamps that they have to light with the poles every night. And all these old buildings that have been converted to these tiny little shops, specialty shops and boutiques and restaurants and stuff. And there's so much history down there. The first state capitol was actually located down there. And the Where I Go takes you along to different spots along historic Main Street. And you get to learn more of the history about the area, because there's actually a lot of the buildings have plaques on the side that tell you what they used to be back in 1881, or, you know, this was the first post office or the first saddle repair shop or whatever. And it's really easy to miss those plaques on the sides of the building. So kind of, it's not really hidden history because it's right there, but it's easy to miss. And then another fun thing about that Where I Go is it actually takes you to a benchmark. So if you're interested in benchmark hunting, you can get the Where I Go and hit the benchmark up at the same time.
Wonderful. So, Amy, you mentioned earlier that a common type of geocache container is the pill bottle. I think you mentioned that. I'd love to learn more about the geocaching culture in Missouri. You know, how regularly do you guys have events? Is it like a really strong community? What type of container do you guys hide the most? Like, just give me all the information about the culture there.
I think your culture might actually depend on city to city and town to town, because it's such a big area. And at least here in St. Charles, like I mentioned, the pill bottles and prescription bottles, they're a pretty common container that I have found. And as far as events go, this year's been kind of odd for events with COVID and everything, of course. But there is the St. Louis Area Geocaching Association, and they try to do some regular events in the area. They do a Halloween picnic. They try to do a cache in trash out every year. And then we have a couple of cachers, one in particular called Rebel Penguin. He's a geocacher in the area that he sets up meet and greet pretty commonly about once a month. Even it slowed down a bit during COVID, but after things kind of started to open back up again, he started having some meet and greets at the local park. And of course, where we can be outside and socially distance and still wear masks and everything. And just get to meet up with some different geocachers and talk and swap stories and meet different people in the community, which is pretty fun.
We have a lot of events, just a lot of events. We have a really close, I think we have a really close group. I started a geocaching group called the Four State Geocaching Society early on, and now we have about 800 members on Facebook. We have about, and it covers the four state area that I talked about. But when we have a big event, we might have 150 people show up for that. I host a Christmas party every year. This year, it's December the 12th at a local event center. And I usually buy the meat and everybody else brings all the side dishes. We have door prize. Well, it's not even door prizes. It's a swag bag that you get that's full of things like flashlights and not usually trackables and things, but kind of fun stuff for the kids. We've never had Santa Claus come yet, but I keep hoping that he'll come someday. So we do that every year. This is our sixth year. And we have about five people in the Joplin area that host events regularly. So we're always checking in with each other to make sure we're not going to step up on somebody else's event. On the other hand, sometimes we try to schedule them all the same day at different times so we can go hit a bunch of events. And because my city is 50,000, so it's not tiny. However, it is small and I'm in a rural area. So it's not unusual for us to drive 70 or 80 miles to go to events. And when you start taking that into account, there are just a lot of events. And if you come to Missouri, I will host an event just for you. And I even have a place for you to stay.
Oh, that sounds great. I might have to consider putting the United States back on my visit list. If I did want to come to Missouri, Mike and Amy, and visit you guys, what are like two or three things that any tourist must see once they're in Missouri?
Well, I think she said one, you got to go see, if you're going to be in St. Louis, I mean, you could spend a week in St. Louis, literally. Mm-hmm. But I think you've got to see the Arch. It's even if you just drive by and don't stop, but it's definitely worth stopping for and standing underneath. So that's beautiful. One of the things I really think, we have people that come from Europe constantly, and they're here to travel the Mother Road, which is Route 66. And that runs from Chicago all the way, I believe, to LA and runs right through Joplin. You can Google the song, Get My Kicks on Route 66. And it's a really old highway and some of it still exists. And you'll find there are a lot of caches that follow Route 66. So you can cache your way all the way down it.
Yeah, if you come to St. Louis, the Arch is pretty amazing, even just to stand outside. But if you go actually inside the Arch, they have a small museum inside it. And then you can actually buy tickets to ride this, in my opinion, this absolutely terrifying little tram to go up to the top of the Arch. And you can look out the windows, and I did it a couple times as a kid, and it absolutely terrified me because you can feel it swaying with the wind.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a curved arch, so the tram
is
curved. It's like a little jail cell. You get in, there's no windows, no nothing, and you go up, but it's worth the ride up there to see it. And I am afraid of heights, but I still really enjoyed it.
I haven't done it as an adult. I've just passed I've been back there a couple of times. I'm like, no, I'll just stay down here on the ground. But it is a beautiful view if you do go up there, because you can see pretty much all of St. Louis. And we have a Major League Baseball stadium in St. Louis. And the St. Louis Zoo, in my opinion, is a must to go see if you like animals or have children that want to go see animals, because it's actually a free zoo. I don't remember if it is rated the number one free zoo, but it is definitely in the top 10 free zoos of the country. It's got paid parking available, but there's free parking near it, and it's free to get in. They have a couple exhibits that cost a little extra, but it is amazing and is huge. You can spend an entire day there. You can spend an entire 8 hours there to see everything. It's an amazing zoo if you enjoy that kind of thing.
This isn't in Missouri, and when she told me that you would like to talk to people that live in Missouri, I do live here, but I am so close to the line that I cash almost exclusively. Well, I travel all over, but when I just leave my house to go cash, I cash in Kansas. And so that's where I really have found the most of my caches. And it's a hike from here. It's not as far as it is across your, is it a state or a province? What's it called?
West State.
Okay. It's not that far, but 6 hours from Joplin is the oldest surviving geocache in the world. And that's called Mingo. It's GC30. And I got to tell you, it would be worth it, I think, if I was coming from another country to see the last surviving geocache. And on the way out there, there's a geocacher named Otti Olsen. Let's see, Ottie Olsen. That guy has amazing caches. You'll have fun all the way there finding his stuff.
So for people that are traveling to Missouri or the Kansas area, your four-state area, is there anything that people should really know about? I know at least my perception of the safety in America might be a little bit different to what it realistically is. Is it safe to travel alone there? Should I take someone with me? Is public transport good, or should I be hiring a car? If you had someone coming over, what is the travel advice you'd give them?
I would say, first of all, rent a car.
Yeah. You know,
there is no public transportation really where I live. Now, there may be where she lives, but geocaching through public transportation would be hard, because the thing about America is we have lots of sprawl. So it's not like being in New York City or Chicago where you could walk from cache to cache. It'd be a little tough.
Yeah, if you're in St. Louis in the major tourist district, they do have a bus system, and Uber is there, and there's scooters and stuff that you can pay for and rent and ride around on. When you get out of that main metropolitan area, you get a lot less of that. Like when you come over here to the river in St. Charles, there is a St. Charles bus system, but there's not a lot of buses that run through it. There is Uber. We're starting to get some of those scooters show up around town that you can pay for and kind of zip around on, but it's really set up for you to have your own car and mm-hmm. and drive. Like where I'm at, I can drive 20 to 40 minutes and I can go to the St. Louis area. I can go over to Chesterfield and go to the outlet malls. I can go out to Wentzville. I have a lot of options for stuff to go do near me, but I'm going to have to get in a car and drive, or you're going to have to take an Uber to go do it. And if you're, like Mike said, if you're trying to go do caching for a day, doing the Uber or something like that might be a little difficult, unless you kind of like drop yourself off at a park that has a lot of caches to hit and then go home, go back to call an Uber to pick you up to go back to your hotel or whatever.
Super safe here, by the way. I think in general, rural America is very safe. I think America is pretty darn safe. I mean, there are certainly cities you can get to. You could be afraid in certain neighborhoods. We don't have any of those neighborhoods here, and it's just, you would feel fine alone or not alone. I think it'd be fun to bring a friend just because, you know, but I feel safe.
There's a couple areas in downtown St. Louis that are not necessarily as nice a place as, not nice, but maybe not necessarily the best place to be on your own than others, but that's mainly just very downtown in a couple areas. And for the most part, you come over, and if you're in the main tourist areas, it's really not an issue to be out at night or even by yourself or anything. You probably would have more fun just with a person to share the experience with. But I mean, I've been over there at night in, you know, the tourist area, and I feel perfectly safe over there.
So Australia is kind of well known for having our snakes and spiders and jellyfish and stingrays and everything else that could kill you. If I was traveling and geocaching in Missouri, is there anything that I need to be aware of? Even as an Australian, you know, we don't really want to come across something that could kill us.
Well, we do have our snakes. Copperheads are a very common one in Missouri. We do have some rattlesnakes in southern Missouri. The brown recluse spider, I think, is the nastiest spider we have. That one is, it has a corrosive venom. So if it bites you, it actually starts corroding the skin. So that's not one you want to get bitten by. There's even some scorpions, some tiny little scorpions around Missouri. And then, of course, we've got, if you go out into the woods enough, we do have bears and bobcats out there.
Yeah.
I don't know why people think Australia is bad. Bears sound terrifying.
It's all what you're used to.
We have as far as snakes go, it's just like there. The rule is if it's very colorful, it's very deadly. And so, you know, but we have a lot of black snakes here, and that's usually what you're going to run across. They aren't poisonous, and it's no fun to get bitten by one, but it's rare to get bitten by one, even if you touch it. So really, I would say the number one, you ready for this? The number one scary animal is the dog. I mean, that's what I think. I think that when you're out either in the city or out in the country, dogs that would just run up, and you never know, right, till they get there, whether they're going to lick you or not. I have seen mountain cat or mountain lions in the wild, and we definitely have brown bears, but they aren't very aggressive, and they're little. They tend to kind of hide out.
Yeah, you're not likely to... They're not going to try to come across to you. The same thing with the coyotes and stuff that we have out here. They pretty much want to just keep to themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, as areas are growing up more, we kind of cohabitate a little bit more. There's a coyote that's been popping up a little bit more frequently, actually, in my neighborhood, because this area used to be all farm area, and it's developing more, so they're losing more habitat, and to jump between their habitats, they're having to cross our streets to get to their next hunting patch. But for the most part, they want to be left alone and stay by themselves. So unless you accidentally startle one in the middle of nowhere, you're probably going to be okay.
I'm going to say it's really a non-event to be afraid of dangerous animals in our areas. It's rare. And in the 10 years I've cached, all I've ever seen are scary dogs. So, and not very many of those, mostly just dogs that want to lick you.
But, yeah. I've come across a few snakes, but
yeah,
for them, if you just kind of watch out for them, for the most part, it's more like the black snakes, like Mike said. And the black snakes are actually nice to have around because they eat the copperheads. So they're a good snake. People may not like them still, but they're actually a good snake because they eat a lot of the poisonous ones.
I have a cache. I was out in the country near my home, and I was hiding a magnetic key holder, and it was an old metal bridge. And I was standing out there, and a farmer pulled up, and he said, "What you doing?" And I said, "Oh, nothing, just looking around." He goes, "Looking for snakes?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "Well, you're about to find a lot of them." And so I don't know. I didn't see any snakes. And he left. And I reached down and I put the key holder on the back side. And when I leaned over to look at it, it was just rows after rows after rows of black snakes coiled all on the inside of this bridge because it was hot. It was summertime and they were sunning. It was amazing. So I think I named the cache Snake Bridge, even though that wasn't really the name of the bridge. But seriously, it's not bad here.
I would be like immediately deleting that listing. I would not be. You're a braver man than I am, Mike.
I wasn't brave. I just didn't know they were there until after I already placed it.
Sometimes ignorance is bliss.
So that pretty much wraps up my questions about Missouri, though I would love to find out from you both if you have any tips or advice for new geocachers who are just starting out.
Yeah, I would say the thing I put off the longest, and I don't know why, because I'm very outgoing, but I waited a long time to go to a geocaching event. And then when I did go, I sort of tried to stay under the radar and not really meet anybody. My advice is go to an event and meet other geocachers, because this is so much more fun with other people than it is alone. And I guess that would be my first thing is get plugged into the community. You know, when I meet somebody that's never heard of geocaching really, and I tell them about it, they're kind of puzzled by it. But then when I show them a geocaching map where we're standing and all the geocaches that are around, they're shocked how many they walk by, drive by every day. And I think the same is true with geocachers. There are so many people that are enjoy the hobby that you can make friends with and go hang out with.
Yeah, my bit of advice would be to try different types of caches. If you have different types in your area, kind of explore the map and look for those different types and the different sizes and the different DT combinations, because you may not really know what you like until you try. You may decide you just like the lamppost caches and that's all you want to hit, but you may discover that you like those 5/5 death defying caches that Mike keeps bringing up. Or you may find you like the Where I Goes or Adventure Labs a lot better. So just
I just thought of another question that I want to ask as well. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me today and having a chat about all things Missouri. Hopefully we can get a couple of listeners to come over and experience it for themselves. And I'll definitely let you know if I'm ever in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. It was fun. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for having us on.
If you would like to be a guest on an episode or have a topic you would like me to cover, you can message me through my geocaching profile. The link is in the episode notes. Happy geocaching.